Welcome to Let Them Eat Cake with me, Lady Red Velvet.
She's no lady, she's a beast.
She is a beast, and she is joined by a fellow beast, if I may say so. The wonderful Alex Martine, welcome.
Hello everybody, welcome.
This is episode number 8 of season 3. And it is a joy. You're the first person of 2024.
Here we are, alive.
Just. Actually, I've avoided all the coughs and colds, which is a miracle.
Yes, it is, because everybody's like sick and falling here in Barcelona.
Everyone is sick and falling, so fingers crossed. I bet you as soon as I go back to school, then I'm like, I'll be ill. But up until now.
Well, that's good. That's where like a good Baja is worth it.
So. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's great to have you here. Now, Alex, you are probably the only drag queen who is busier than me in Barcelona.
Yeah, because I have to make a living. I have no school to go get ill.
You've got no school. But you don't stop, do you?
Not much. I mean, it looks crazier from the outside sometimes than it's actually in the inside, because I do have my like days off and stuff. But yeah, it's crazy. It's a little crazy, but I'm like happy about it. And I'm just like also trying to accept that it's always going to be crazy.
Do you give yourself like set days to have days off?
Default, I'm supposed to not work on Mondays. So it's usually I don't work from Monday to till Wednesday night.
Okay.
But shit happens. And then there's also like, of course, like some prepping. So usually it's like Mondays are off completely.
Yeah.
But then usually on Tuesday, maybe, you know, because there's like the billing, the office stuff to do, like preparing stuff.
Yeah.
So usually it's not like really like 2 or 3 days off, but at least Mondays are usually free.
Yeah.
And then Tuesday, you just like
back into it again.
That for me, but for me, the best thing is like that Mondays off for me are like very important, because at least you need like a day off.
When
you're busy, sometimes I'm busy from Wednesday till Sunday, like really, really packed.
Yeah.
So it's like you need at least a day or two.
Yeah, just off. To unwind. Yes. And unwind from your alter ego,
Just like being in bed like that, like a mummy.
And talking about your drag persona, are they very different from yourself?
I don't have a drag persona.
No.
That's just me.
Yeah.
Like, I usually say it's me with, like, the right to be the center of attention.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So it's like, I'm not doing, like, a character.
No,
I'm not even, like, being super over-the-top, because I'm not, like, a very over-the-top drag queen neither.
Neither am I.
So it's like, it's just me with like, I'm wearing my makeup, I'm wearing my wigs, my dresses. So just like now, I'm here, I'm getting paid to be the center of attention, to entertain people, to look good, to, you know, to pick attention.
Yeah.
Because usually, and that's for me what my drag is. It's not really like building a character or doing stuff that I don't really do in my daily life.
Yeah. Do you class yourself as a, would you say a drag queen or a drag performer or drag artist, or are you with all of those?
I usually say drag performer, but I do say drag queen. I'm not like against that label.
Yeah.
At the beginning, before like really starting in drag, I labeled myself a lot as a club kid.
Oh, yeah.
But nowadays, what I do is drag, and it's easier to just say a drag queen.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is what it is. It's not like a very like normy or very like common kind of drag queen, but I mean,
These days I use, not so much for me, but in general, like drag performer, because I think I'm just realize how diverse drag is these days. And sometimes I don't want to just say, oh, drag queen, when in fact there are so many people who aren't drag queens, for example.
I usually say like the Spanish word travesti. For me, like that's my definition.
Yeah.
Because that's like it's a very like charged word, like historically and with meaning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I usually say that. But I'm not. I used to be, because it's been a process for me being a drag queen, like all like the feminine stuff, and especially because my drag is not very feminine.
No.
But I do like to mix stuff that it's like perceived as feminine, stuff that's yes. perceived as masculine, and just like mix it up.
Yeah.
And
make what, a cocktail. Just tell all of our lovely listeners at home, what's your Instagram? Because I know a lot of people love to click on and look and picture who I'm talking to.
It's easy. It's Alex Martin with two E's. So AlexMartinen.
Got it.
And that's it everywhere, like Twitter, Instagram, yeah. Facebook, I guess.
Yeah, I know Facebook. I even used Facebook the other day for the first time in ages. And all of the likes I got, no offense to anyone back home listening, because probably you are half of my audience. It was all the teaching assistants from my old school I used to work at. All of the ladies are sort of about 50, but I have to say, I'm only 5 years away from that, so I'm not far off being a lady in my 50s.
No, a lady. But yeah, so I mean, that's why I'm not like scared anymore of just like using, because I think that it's not, as also we can say nowadays, drag queen, and people are starting to understand that being a drag queen is not being a man who dresses as a woman.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
once this like definition is like being broken or like being just like made broader, so it's like I'm not like uncomfortable with being a drag queen.
No, not at all. But what now? I always ask all my guests whether they are a drag performer. We've had Peter Darling Peter DJs, which you are as well. How would you describe yourself in three words or phrases? What would you say?
Yeah, I thought about it.
This is the one everyone has to think about. The rest they don't have to think about usually.
Exactly, literally. I'd say I would describe myself as an artist.
Yeah.
That's, I'm actually like a performance artist. Yes, so it's like yes, I'm an artist so. Who perform. Because I'm awful at drawing, at painting, and everything that's not like performing, I'm awful, zero talent. And I would say that. I would say I'm a very hard worker person.
Yes, definitely.
Because I do believe that part of like the life I'm achieving now, like the fact that I'm able to just like live from the art, it's because I've been like for many, many years, maybe now like 13 or 14 years working in working and being yeah. like professional and hard and being hard worker, because everybody's like, oh well, Alex Martin, he's working, he's everywhere. It's like
how do you get to that
like,
stage?
No, I mean it's like I'm everywhere, and that's a lot of a big effort. It's like some
it's noise. A huge
not that everybody
effort.
Like it's not about criticizing, but it's like sometimes it's like, oh, but you're everywhere. It's like, yeah, but it's an effort. It's not like it's a gift to just like be very booked, but it's also like a struggle sometimes, and like
you have to work. It's also your full-time job.
Yeah.
Not many, well, I don't know many in the drag scene apart from some of course the RuPaul girls that get to that stage where they can have that platform.
My lucky the thing for me, like I apart from like the hard work, I've been a drag queen now for like I would say 3 years focused in being a drag queen, but I've been like an artist for like many, many years. So when I just like started to focus in drag, I had like a baggage as a DJ, as an actor,
yes.
as a performer, as many, many things, as a musician. So of course I also brought that work ethic and all like my background, my context. So
yes.
And nowadays, thank God, I it's not just like me performing as a drag queen, like doing shows as a drag queen. I have like a very broad, very broad, like a lot of things that I can do. Just like, because I can DJ, I can sing, I can do like hosting, I can do TV, I can do, because it's like it's been many, many years trying to work in different things.
Yes.
And here we are.
I think it is linked to that. Whenever you see anyone who's in the performance arts who is making it as a main job, that hard working, you can't get by without that. Of course there can be sprinklings of luck for people, but that's not going to get you booked for things.
And the thing is that it's not going to make it last. You can just like get somehow famous for whatever reason, and then you maybe you get like a lucky time, but if you want to really keep living out of this, you have to, especially like the being a a serious professional, being a professional person, yes. That when you get booked, you deliver like yes. with seriousness, with like yes. Professionalism,
yes.
And you give your.
I think that's really important, actually. It's something that I always hold close to what I do, even though what I do can be comedy, silly, trashy, whatever. But whatever I do, I always make sure I'm there. I do the job well. I make sure I turn up. I make sure I give the audience what they want, and you know, 200% of that. So
I would love to say I'll be there in time, but that's probably not true. I would think the third word it would probably have to be like impunctual. Like for being a drag queen, I'm not that crazy impunctual.
Okay, okay.
Like I have to say that. And for the third word, I was really thinking about it, how to just like, you know, build this image, and I would say I'm very like. Emotional person or intense person, because through the years I've really get to work in myself a lot and yes. get to just like be able to be a person who is able to just like feel
yes.
and not afraid of feeling and not afraid of being vulnerable and not afraid of sharing yes. emotion, sharing vulnerability
yes.
And I work a lot in myself, so I think that'd be a nice.
And as you're a singer, an amazing singer, that must be a huge part, I guess. I'm not a singer, but I do love music. But I'm guessing as a performing artist who sings, that emotion must be incredibly important with that.
I always say that for me, like the thing I'm the most grateful about in my life is like the ability of singing. Because for me, as topic as it sounds, like singing, it's like the best way to connect with myself,
yeah,
because you're literally like channeling the emotions. Literally, you're singing and you are the instrument. You are vibrating, and especially when you sing at certain levels of like intensity, especially when you sing like musicals or opera or stuff like that, that you really like are channeling like a huge vibration, a huge yes. amount of like sound and emotions.
Yes.
That's it connects with yourself a lot. Yes. So it's like I it's the thing that I love the most when I'm able yes. to sing. It's not you don't always get to that point, of course, when you're singing like whatever, no? But it's for me it's really nice because I'm able to connect with myself, and through the years I've learned that if I'm honest with the audience, that's the best thing about being a drag queen. If they are entertained,
yes.
in the big pictures, like if they are like sad, if you make them sad, make them happy, make them whatever. If they are moved, they're gonna be fine with your show.
Yeah, 100%.
So if you're honest, okay, today I'm sad, so I'm gonna sing you a sad song. I'm heartbroken. I'm gonna sing you a heartbreak song. So and it's very for me to reach this point in which I'm able to just like be honest with people and be. Yeah, be true.
And that's also within your audience. You will have people who are heartbroken, people who are feeling sad. So it's a wonderful way of connecting to people as well. I really remember you singing Am I Losing My Mind? Is that the name of the song? Am I losing my mind?
I think about you. It's losing my mind. Yeah, it's losing my mind from Follies.
I heard you sing that in Chocochoros in Sao Paulo in front of, I don't know, 1,000 people at a stage in the evening where people had been drinking and I was thinking, oh, okay. My goodness. But it went so quiet because it was so intense and so beautiful, and to do that is like wow, and have that connection is incredible.
It's you can't do that like always or very often, but at least it was not churros, actually it was a sarao, Futuro Sarao Drag,
which yes.
it's the kind of yes, of spaces where you can just like, okay, so now I'm going to take a risk.
Yes, that's true.
I'm going to take a risk, and I'm going to be here in Sao Paulo, which is like a huge audience, and now you can sit, no, not sit down, but shut up
yes.
and listen to me singing Sondheim.
Yeah, and actually Sao Drag is a great place for that as well, because it's such a mixture of things as well.
That's why I always say that even though I love big stages and I can manage like a big room, for me, the best kind of like scenario is like a small like cabaret style thing, like with people really close to you, where you can just like really connect to the audience, talk to the audience, and just like and take them through through things, you know. For example, Dragada Familia, or Rabalada, or this kind. I was like the other day in Gracia with Salma Zahor in her show, which was like this mid-sized, like people really close kind of bar thing. For me, that's my favorite, like kind of.
I agree. I love having that. I love being on a stage. There's something about being on a stage that is very theatrical. It brings me back to all my days doing drama in the UK. But when you're actually on the same level, when you're actually very close, is that connection that you can't have without that.
Yeah, and especially for me, when you can connect to the audience, I can go like way rawer, like sadder and more intense. Mm. And it's like, okay, now I'm going to sing you like this, like a very obscure musical song, Sondheim song about like how fucked up I am, you know? And oh, like Losing My Mind, for me, it's like the best song to portray when you're like badly in love.
Yes.
When you're just like obsessed with somebody. Yeah. And it's such a simple song. Like, boom, it's very repetitive. It's like, but for me, like in a cabaret kind of scenario, you can mix that with just like talking to the audience, joking, because I am a funny person.
Mm.
But I usually like, it's like, okay, sad song, funny interlude. Sad song, funny interlude. So it's easier when you're in a big stage. For example, like in New Year's that I did like this whole thing. Of course, you had to do just like ABBA, Chenoa, 80s songs.
That's what
like
people want.
Because you're just like at another level. You're entertaining people at another level, which is great because you feel like a star. But
of course. And sometimes you've got to give all those crowd pleasers. It's like when I kind of plan my shows, I'm always like, okay, I know this one is going to real hit the buttons. People are going to love that. And I'm going to love doing it. And then other times you take a bit of a risk. So for example, in a few weeks time, Paprika and I are going to be doing a musical version of Saltburn, the new movie. Okay. Have you seen it?
Yes,
we were like, why not? Let's do it. Why not? And actually, there are people out there that are straight away like, oh my God, yeah, we want to come and see it. It's really dark. It's weird. It's not something you would normally do in a drag show. But,
yeah, but it's fun. I love why that. Not? In your shows, it's really what I connect with you, even though like, your shows are sometimes like, I don't want, no, the word's not like unprepared. It's but it's like but it's like okay, it's like trash, it's like messy, but like we are all together through this.
Yes, that's
so that's where I like it connect is. With you because it's like okay, we are being honest here.
It's prepared. It's really prepared.
Oh, it's, that's the fun. Yeah. You couldn't just
it's improvised.
It wouldn't be interesting if you were just like coming out with like a perfect production, because it would be crazy. You couldn't do that like every week.
It would be impossible.
And then you would, it's a whole another thing. So it's like for me, it's we're here, we're being honest, we're just like going through this. It's really fun. Come on, let's,
you're all in it together. Exactly. I always say that. Last night we did The Sound of Music, and I chose seven adults to be the children, the Von Trapp family. And I think it's just like, come on, we're in it together. Yes. You're these roles now. I gave them stickers. I made sure they didn't escape through the night because I was a bit like, has anyone left? No, they're still here. So I have to say, even though I
always work with the audience, I hate participating in a show when I'm out of drag. It's like, I hate it so much.
Yeah,
so much. I hate it.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I get that way. So it depends on what it is, but sometimes if I think,
never.
And quite often if we're drag queens in someone else's show, they will choose us because they're like, oh, that's an entertainer, that's someone I know. Please leave me alone.
All drag queens listening, don't pick me. I won't be helpful because I'm not a shy person, like in general, you know. I'm a performer, I don't have stage fright or anything, but just like when I'm not like in drag, I don't want to be the center of attention at all.
Yeah.
Unless I'm a little... like...
That helps.
No. And I probably collapse and I'm not funny. And I'll just like...
freeze up.
Yeah. Which is crazy, but just like... So, yeah, don't pick me.
don't pick him. Don't pick him. Now, going back into drag and to music and DJing. My goodness, we could do like three podcasts here. So how did you get into... drag, how did you get into music? How did you get into DJing? I'm guessing music singing came first.
I studied music since I was a kid. I was really lucky that my parents like took me to the conservatory, to just like the classical music training when I was a kid, which was traumatizing, but it gave me like a very like skills like that is really difficult to get later. No, I play the piano, I can read music, I can sing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But when I was, I was going for like a musical theater actor. I started doing theater. I've always done theater like at school, blah, blah, blah. But I started like doing theater when I was like 11, 12. So, and even though I was going for like a science career, I am actually like I have a degree in biotechnology actually, and I can be a teacher also like at school because I also studied to be like a high school teacher. But at the same time, when I was 18, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going for sciences, but I really wanted to be like a musical theater actor.
Yeah.
So at that point, I was like, I had like a midlife crisis, not like early life crisis. So at the end, for like a lot of family stuff, and we're not gonna get into that.
Yeah.
So my parents thought I had gone like crazy. It's like, no, you want to be like a scientist, and because I came out at the same time, I said I don't want to be a scientist. I want to be an actor. Okay. So everything was like
all going on.
My poor parents were like, okay, she's crazy. So they like kind of forced me to study, but at the same time, they would help me to study theater too.
Okay.
So I did the 2 degrees at the same time.
Wow.
Which was crazy.
Yeah.
But well, I did them. So I did like theater, not musical theater. I did theater because I really wanted to be a good actor.
Yes.
Because even though I love musical theater, I've always thought that it's really easy that musical theater is like fakey, you know? My favorite musicals are the ones that are just like a little bit... more intense. I loved Rent. I loved Spring Awakening. I love Cabaret. My favorite musical is Cabaret.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So I had like some years like struggling with all that. At the same time, I was starting to just like work, especially like in my first, like I had a music group. I've had like music groups since I was like a teenager. Okay. But
yeah.
I started with a duo called Monsieur Cactus with Albi from Futuroa.
Yeah.
We were together for like many, many years. And we started working as a duo, a comic duo in little cabarets in Raval.
Yeah.
So, of course, I've always been linked to like performance and cabaret and blah, blah, blah. But I was like going for a musical theater actor. Which I did because I was in Grindr the musical.
Oh. Which
I wrote the music for that.
Yeah.
And I also like was performing in that musical for like 3 years, like Barcelona, Madrid, and touring Spain. It's like I also did like 2 or 3 like smaller things in musical world.
Yes.
But at the same time, I had also started DJing. The DJing thing is like it shows how cuckoo I was when I was like 22. You know? Because I was studying two degrees. So one in the morning, one in the afternoon. I had to work because my family is not like high class.
Yes.
It's what in the 90s was like middle class.
Yes, yeah.
So it was like super like working class that had like went a little higher because the 90s were like so I had to work to just like help provide like my 2 degrees and everything, you know? So I was crazy. I was like crazy. So I couldn't like go out. I couldn't go out literally because if I went out, I felt bad because I was like, I don't have time. I don't have time for that.
No,
but at the same time, I was 20 years old. I was 19. I was 20. So I wanted to
go out, see people, discover who you were as well.
It's exactly. So that's where I like find DJing like a good alternative because it was like, imagine how crazy that is. It's like, okay, if I'm DJing, I'm not like, I'm like working.
Yes.
So it's like, I can't do that. I can't go out. I can't be in a disco. I can't go because out because I'm working.
Yes.
That's fucked up. But yeah, it's like literally my mindset at that point.
No,
so,
I understand.
But with everything, with like the musical, and then I went out like maybe 23. I also was in like in a TV contest in TV3,
yeah.
Like in a singing contest, like with a group. It was like we were like in a Glee
boy, oh, was it? Yeah.
Glee kind of
Glee
boy
kind
band.
Of vibe. Oh,
yeah, because it was like a singing competition,
yes.
From the in the Catalan TV, but it was groups, like
pop groups,
vocal groups,
vocal groups, yeah,
like yeah. Choirs, but not like not like classical choirs,
yes,
but like
yes,
Glee.
Actually,
kind
my
of thing.
My friend was it a cappella. Or
no.
Was it? No, it wasn't.
No.
Okay. My friend who's in the UK, she did this in the UK with her. It was an a cappella group. But
yeah. So that ends like I was like a weird, like kind of. I was doing a lot of stuff because I was DJing. I was like with a musical. I was like, we had like a year, a couple of years of like huge success with this group.
Yeah.
From TV, because you know, when you go to TV, you just like
yeah.
get like a little. Crazy famous,
yeah,
but,
of course.
But I was like 23 or 24.
Still very young.
Yeah, and I was like doing a lot of stuff. I moved to Madrid for a while with a musical. I had a boyfriend here. I moved out like a little bit of like crazy, and at the end it kind of like went. What I was most successful with was like the DJing thing.
Yeah.
So in like 2018, 2019, I was like. I was working a lot as a DJ. I used to DJ in London regularly, Vienna, Frankfurt, Paris.
And this is without the drag element?
No drag. Drag has always been there, like especially because I was with Futuro Sarao Drag, where
yes.
I was like performing in kind of drag.
Yes.
In Grindr the Musical, my character did drag.
Okay.
My first ever job when I was 18, paid job as an actor was... performing Frankenfurther in a sing-along
okay.
version of like...
So you've always had this element of drag along
the
way.
But at the same time, I was like, I had like... even though my family has always supported me, I knew that for my family, like that... I don't know exactly why, but I had like a lot of issues with the drag thing.
Yeah.
With the femininity thing. Mm. I was like, I guess it was... I don't know which part of that it's like my family, which part was just like me. But I was like... Okay, for example, when I was doing drag before, so in like whatever, when I was younger, I never wore wigs, for example. So I was like
okay.
doing a very club kid kind of thing
yes.
always. Like my makeups were super like colors and shapes and mixing stuff, but always never wearing wigs.
Yeah.
So it was like
not a woman.
Not a woman. It's like not
no.
a woman.
No.
Not a woman. So I see now that I had like some kind of like inner homophobia or like issues there with like the drag itself.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why, you know?
Yeah.
But well, the thing is that drag wasn't really there as a thing, even though it wasn't like new for me. So that's like at what point that's it, 2019, I was like international DJ. I was also performing as a singer for like events and stuff like that, but I hadn't like really put the pieces together.
Yes, yes.
Especially
yeah.
with what I
yeah.
really wanted. To do, no? Or with my music, because so it was a little weird. And then COVID came, everything was fucked up.
Yeah.
I was also still like doing some teaching, doing some like kids plays.
Yes.
So I wasn't fully living
okay.
out of like my performance
okay.
or nightlife or whatever.
Yes.
I was especially doing a lot of like little kid. I was in that was like war flashbacks 100%. The other day I was remembering that. And it's like I was doing like little musical pieces in English.
Yes.
For like kids from 3 to 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
It's like
yeah.
little, like it was like little, like with puppets and
yeah.
stuff like that. Which was,
yeah.
it was really cute.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like daytime.
Yes.
Moving all around, like with my car alone.
Yeah, that's
it was like,
a lot of work. Whenever we have like visitors to school who do shows, I'm always like, that's a lot of work. People have often said to me, oh, Richard, you'd be great at that. Set up your own little school theatre
yeah,
company.
And
I'm like,
and
it's no,
not really,
it's
not
a lot
really
of work.
Well paid because, you
no.
know, it's like schools don't pay a lot.
No, they're not.
I mean,
they've
you
not got the budgets.
No, but I mean, kids, you can't, I have them. It's like, if usually it's like a price per kid, no? And
yes.
you cannot, make families. Families are really like, not except if it's like rich people, no. You cannot like make people pay more than 5 or 6 or 7 euros per kid.
Yeah.
That doesn't sum up.
No.
It's like it was, well, whatever. So, but then COVID came, everything got fucked up. Like no DJ gigs, no singing, no theater, nothing. And I was actually like at that point, I released a CD, but my first CD solo. Because I had released CDs with all my previous groups.
Okay.
But my first CD solo was released in April 2020.
Oh, so literally 1 month after it all kicked off.
So I was trying to focus in like my songwriting and stuff, but it got fucked up, of course.
Yeah.
And that's where I had to focus on, like, first of all, I was like 6 months at home doing nothing, eating my money, literally, like all my savings and having a depression, no, like everybody.
Yeah.
But then at some point, of course, I had to go back to just like school, place, doing some teaching, blah, blah, blah. But at some point, beginning of 2021, when bars started to open up,
yeah,
that crazy moment where like bars could open from 1 to 3.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's,
all these like crazy moments.
Yeah, I know.
I started working in Casa La Pradera.
Yeah.
In a little show called Fueto Coca.
Okay, yes, yes, yeah, I know.
With Jacob.
Yeah.
Before even Rabalada started. So we started like shows. And at the beginning, I was doing a production there because he was like sick because Jacob got COVID. So I went to cover him as like doing production. But then at some point, the artist that was like the main artist there, like, I don't know why, I don't remember why, she like stopped doing it, and I was offered to just like jump in and do like every Sunday there, or every Saturday, I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was weird days like that. And I was like, doing the same at La Federica, and it was like, okay, the show goes on.
Yeah, because it was like, okay, they need, so no dancing, because there was no dancing, they just need somebody to just like keep people sat down in their space
entertained, and people were like dying for entertainment as well.
And so I always started doing like drag there, because I was like, that's for me, my first gig in drag was like that, like my first official gig in drag was that.
Yeah.
And of course, like that went on, we just like did several different kind of shows, like Ocho que Ochenta, we did also like a game night. Rabalada started.
Yes, yeah, of course.
And we were like literally like working like slowly trying to just like climb back, no?
Yes, yeah.
But as soon as like stuff got like more and more open, I've always felt that those artists that we were like there in the worst moment,
yes,
we got compensated, like, oh, totally, we really, because totally. It was like when things started to open up, I felt that just like I was being, you know, I got back a lot of what because like, okay, we were there at the worst.
Yeah.
So now that things are better, we want you there.
I agree as well. That's when basically I went from performing kind of twice a month to every single week in La Federica. I did a whole year with the face shields on. Then it was
getting all the COVID, because of course they were just like spitting at you.
Oh my goodness. It was like really crazy. And I agree with you. It's that year, actually, that's when my kind of thing exploded. And after that, I think it's people realize, wow, if they can work in these conditions, if they can get audiences, people coming during the time when it's hardest to actually get people out. I agree. Yeah. I think it's a good thing.
And for me, when I really started in drag, like everything in my life pieced together. It was like, okay, now I'm a drag queen.
It clicks together.
I'm a drag queen, and now I can, being a drag queen, I can do everything I wanted to do. I can DJ. I can do music. I can do cabaret kind of thing.
Yes.
I can perform. I could do my music.
Yeah.
I can be on TV as a host. I can. Yes. So it was like everything pieced together.
Yes.
And I feel like since that moment, like, bloom, like, yeah, everything pieced together and everything just like went up, you know?
Having that whole spectrum. It's a little bit, I feel very similar. I can do a podcast as Lady Red Velvet. I can do motivational speaking when I go to places. I can do pride events. I can do my drag shows. So it kind of has this umbrella effect of having that performance arts clicking in, doesn't it?
And for me, it was like, it was really difficult to just like understand what I wanted to do in my life, because I was like, yeah, I want to do this and I want to do that, but what if I do... It was like a little tricky for me, and that's why also I don't change my name. My name is Alex Martin, and because at some point I was like, what shall I do? Shall I get a drag name? And it was like, no, just like, let's... That's you now, no? And
yeah.
Of course, it's been a process. I perform through drag almost always.
Yes.
Maybe there's a DJ. If you catch me a Wednesday at like upstairs at Love Matar, the last room, I won't be in drag. but you know what I mean?
Usually,
like,
yeah.
Now that's what I am. You know? Yes. That's what's my like image. And
yes.
My,
yeah.
And everything worked since that moment.
I think it's great. I love that. I've always loved this sort of versatility of experimenting. I get a bit bored if it's just one thing. I'm always a little bit like, oh, I want to have a go at this. I want to try that. I want to try those things.
And the fact that drag allows you to do this, that I always, when they, what's drag for you? For me, drag is freedom, because it's literally, that's the thing. It's like, now I have a Dragalada next week in Madrid.
Yeah.
It's like, I still don't know what I'm going to do, because I don't still know what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because what I want to do is what I'm going to do. So it's like, I want to sing heartbreak songs. I want to sing heartbreak songs. So I'll pick something. I'll pick an outfit I really want to wear.
Yeah.
Or a song I really want to sing. And from that on, I'll build. But that's like crazy. Yeah. In which, for me now, for example, I was talking that with, I don't remember who, that for me now, for example, now they're casting Maricel. Again, you know Maricel, like this like Catalan musical, which it's the first musical I always I watched.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like huge part of just like me wanting to be a...
Yes.
But I was like, now I don't think I see myself going back to just like auditioning for being like pirate number three.
Yes.
And doing the same like thing every night.
Would you do a musical? Let's say Hedwig and the Angry Inch came up.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch now, right now. no questions asked. No, of course, for me now.
Some things you I really.
It's something that I would. It's something I haven't done, like a big musical. Yes. I would love to.
Yeah.
But nowadays I feel it's, or it's something very specific, like a Hedwig, like Casual Falls.
Yeah.
I don't know, cabaret, something very specific on which I couldn't say no. Or it has to be the other way around, that they are interested in my art, or I just, I don't know, I get famous or something and they pick me up.
Yes.
But I don't feel like going back to just being an actor, you know what I mean?
No. There's something wonderful, like you said, that word freedom. To have that choice of thinking, okay, what am I going to wear? What am I going to do? What am I going to have a theme? What music is really... empowering, isn't it,
to as sort an artist, of have it's amazing. Those. As an artist, it's amazing.
I agree.
It's amazing.
Would you ever, have you ever thought about Drag Race? Is this something for Alex Martin or not?
I don't know. I said no for season 3 when they asked me to audition. I said no, and I didn't. Last year I was like 100% sure I didn't want that.
Yeah.
This year when they asked me to audition, I really thought about it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because I would love to do it.
Yeah.
That's a fact. I would love to do it because I think it has to be really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks super fun.
I'm not sure. I would be good at it because I'm awful at, like, sewing. I'm not a good drag queen, like, technically. I'm not a good drag queen. I don't know how to sew. I don't know how to just, like, style wigs. And I'm not... And the thing is that I'm not interested in all that.
No.
Meaning, it's like, if I want to spend time learning a new skill, I'd rather just, like, learn to play cello or, I don't know, or, like, tap dance.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend time in learning things that all the people around me can do better.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
That's the thing. So, but for me, the problem with that Drag Race is that... I feel that for me it's a risk because I'm living out of this.
Yes.
And this is not the US.
No.
If you go to Drag Race in the US, unless you're just like the super hated villain, whatever, cancelled, racist,
exactly, whatever. Edited out.
Edited out. You're gonna make money, you're gonna get gigs, you're gonna be bigger.
I agree.
Here in Spain, we don't really have the space for many more like famous dragons to get bigger.
I agree.
It's a risk because I would have to just like leave a lot of stuff, you know, because I'm making a living out of this and I'm happy and I make my money and I can live out of this and I'm happy. So it's like, yeah, I'd love to go to Drag Race, but I'm scared that sure that the balance in risk earnings,
I agree,
it makes it worth it.
Yeah, I understand. I've always loved Drag Race from watching, trying to get clips on MTV, on looking up on YouTube. I remember trying to search for them. I've always loved it. And I always thought, yes, I'd want to do it. And I auditioned twice for the UK, twice for Spain, even with my level of Spanish. I would have been the meme queen of the season, for sure. But while the show looks fun, I think there are elements that I do... I have the sort of same thing with you. I'm a little bit like, oof, what happens if...
After.
And also you're exposing yourself to a much bigger melting pot of people in the world. Not only, I know, we, as performers, we see hundreds and you see loads of people, but this is a different type of exposure, isn't it?
And I'm not sure, I think I would be good at it in meaning that I've done TV before, so it's like, I think I'd be able to just like enjoy it, which is like the, but I'm not sure. And now when they ask me, it's like, I don't know.
I don't think you need to, in terms of certainly not proving yourself, because people know who you are, respect who you are, and respect what you do. Of course, there is elements that you think, oh my goodness, well, that extra exposure,
course,
or those extra things.
Like, there's always an extra push, you know? It's like, of course, it could be good.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I think for me this year, when I really thought about it, and if auditions hadn't been like mid-August, they were like, and really difficult, because it's
really
like...
Really difficult.
I that's like public information. It's like, to audition for Drag Race, you have to send a lot of material don't have. So it's like, you have to just like shoot yourself.
In a very short amount of time.
In fucking August.
In melting.
It's
You're
like...
Absolutely
and
melting.
I was like in a very, not very bad moment. It's like I was in a good moment. I was like, I'm sorry, I don't know if I should do this now or not. But it's like, I'm literally not doing like 5 days of drag shootings.
In this heat,
this like bad mood that I have now, like struggling, like emotionally.
Agree.
It's like, I'm not doing... So it was like, okay, you know, I'm like a little like waiting to see what happens.
Yes.
Because now I think we've reached a point in which, like, this last season, season 3, which was great, I loved it.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know, I've worked, and I know, like, most of the drags there.
Yeah, amazing queens.
So it's like, I think we've reached the point in which now we're kind of, like, normal. No, it's like, okay, now, maybe, I don't know if Drag Race is going to go towards the... Everybody has to go there at some point.
Yes.
Like, it's like, yeah, it's just, like, it's something we all go through.
Yeah.
Or it's something that at some point is going to break, because it's like, what's going to happen with this fourth season?
Yeah. And also, there's so many seasons now that it's become so much. Is it, of course, I still value all those queens, the work they put in, the
money.
Work they do, the money they put in. That's another thing, the money you have to put in beforehand. What other game show requires you to put in money that you're not going to win back unless you win? That's a big thing.
It's weird. For me, it's like I don't have like a yes or a no answer.
Yeah.
But for me, at this point, it's a little tricky.
Yeah.
And I'm a working drag queen, and I live out of my art. So it's like, it's something I really, really value. For me, it's the most important thing that I'm like able to do this.
Well, something I really want this year is to kind of get, and I know there are places doing this already, it's like promoting, if you want to call it, hashtag local drag with Drag Race. Because sometimes I do feel like when Drag Race queens are always put above everyone else, can feel a little bit like, okay,
and the thing is that
it's fine, but there's a lot of people that work in this community that work super hard. And what is nice is, for example, when Churros do events, they often will have on their headline a range of queens, and not always headed by a drag queen.
And the tricky thing for me now, like coming from a person who also works like backstage in parties, it's like there's no parties that are gonna just like start paying you 10 times what they were paying you before going to a drag race.
Yeah.
In America, it happens. And America is so big. Yeah. And there's like so many, like, you can literally just like be touring forever because like it's a huge country. It's there's huge. Like lots of like discos and bars and stuff. Yeah. Money means nothing in the US. But here in Spain, it's like it's tricky because it's like there's no, almost nowhere where you're going to get paid 10 times what you were paid before.
No.
So it's tricky because it's like, are you going to get, I don't know, I'm literally asking it, like, am I going to make my bag if I spend 12,000 euros in like going to drag race?
Yes.
Am I going to get that money back? Do I have to?
Yes.
Too many questions for like mid-August. In the heat.
I agree. And it is a lot of money. £10,000 is a lot of money. But there we go. I guess the main thing is at the moment to enjoy, support those people that go for it, because I do know how much hard work
is the thing crazy. Is that I still love Drag Race, and I'm going to just like eat that shit up. It's like I'm going to eat it up. Like I love
We're watching Canada drag at the race. Moment. It is so entertaining.
I love it. And this spring is going to be great with like All Stars here. We have international All Stars. It's going to be great.
That starts in a week.
Tomorrow
All Stars starts it. Oh no, All Stars is it this week?
Tomorrow it's like
meet the.
Now it's the Wednesday. Queens. It's Wednesday. Oh yeah, then So I think season 16 has already started.
That's true. That's true.
And like next week they're doing like the Meet the Queens in Drag Race Spain. It was a little. I have to say, like they didn't manage it very good because it's just after.
Yes.
After like DragCon, they could have said just like fucking Friday.
Yeah, they could.
So they can just like go there.
Yeah, exactly.
They could have gone there like being an All Star. One more day.
I'll have to do. I think my next podcast, by the way, is going to be all about DragCon because I'm going on next. So this will be
Wednesday or tomorrow.
Wednesday, so I'll be going in 2 days' time. I'm just thinking back to the future here. Anyway, let's move on from that. We're this is amazing. So many good conversations. So going back to music, and I love music. I can never remember a single lyric to any song in the world. I just can't. And my head, it's impossible. I think I've talked about this before. There's elements of dyslexia there. My father's dyslexic. My brother's dyslexic. I think
my mother drunk a lot.
For sure must be. And I think maybe when I'm drinking during the show, it doesn't help. So what is your favorite song to perform? If you had to like narrow it down to two or three, what is your like
That's like an impossible question. Yeah,
I know I
was like, for example, I have a very like go-to song that I usually perform in, because I for me it's not as much like I remember lyrics like in a red. I read the song and I usually remember the lyrics perfectly.
I hate you.
I'm awful, like, the thing is, like, when you're playing the piano or, like, ukulele or stuff like that, the problem is the chords. I'm not that good at that. It's like, the typical thing is, like, there's a piano, oh, sing something. It's, like, I don't know the song. So, it's like, I don't know how to play it. But for me, that's, like, the song that I've performed, like, most times ever. I think it should be Creep by Radiohead.
Oh yeah, great.
I usually
song.
Play it at the ukulele, like in a very punk way, like Amanda Palmer does. I don't know if you know Amanda Palmer from the Dresden Dolls.
Oh yeah, I've heard. Yeah, okay.
So she's like one of my main influences, because she, when I was like super traumatized in the classic piano school.
Yeah.
I was super traumatized there. Like it was like great, but just like no, it's like at some point it's like you cannot go out of classic, and at some point if you're not like that good or that invested in like being a good like classical piano player, they're just like, okay, you're not gonna get literally I was told that I would never do anything in the music field. God. Like you're never gonna be a musician, you're never gonna do anything.
Yeah,
next scene. I literally this summer I performed just in front of what was my old music school, like conservatory. I performed there like a whole like almost 2 hour set singing.
That's amazing. And somebody was like, then.
Where are you now?
Yeah. But look at me now, mama.
I have to say, it's like, for me, that's a very for me, it's like a very go-to song, but it changes a lot because that I listen to a lot of music.
But which, and, oh, Creep. Yeah, Creep. Yeah.
But I've also like performed like many, many, when, usually when I'm, I also have like my go-to, for example, go-to opera songs.
Yes.
I've always performed Carmen, like the Habanera Carmen, because it's, yes, like everybody loves it.
I think it was the first time maybe I'd seen you sing live, and everyone was like, because we were in Bacon Bear Bar. You don't expect to see, and you were standing on a ladder.
That was like the crazy. I sang like the Queen of the Night there.
That's one, in a ladder.
With like lanterns and with like, it was like crazy.
Yeah, times. So Alex was standing on a ladder because
there was no stage
and
no light.
No one could see, and no, wasn't seated, so otherwise we wouldn't have seen you. Yeah,
but but it's a very tricky question because there's songs, for example, that I go back, especially like musical songs, influence from musicals, say like Being Alive by Company. I go back to that one many, many times, or like some Spring Awakening songs, or the cabaret songs. I mean, like nowadays I regularly sing, like you have to sing like a song and sound decent. I sing Life is a Cabaret. I sing Maybe This Time. I sing I Love, I Don't Care Much. So
amazing.
It's really tricky because now thank God it's really easy for me to learn a song. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So and nowadays it's really easy for me to get like background music too, because now it's really easy to get a song, take out the vocals. It's like really easy nowadays with EA and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah.
And I also can like just like play the piano. So it's like if I crave a song now, for example, I have a show tonight and they were like, my flatmate was like, why don't you play Houdini? Why didn't you sing Houdini? And I was like, I sat at the piano, like, and played it, was sing, and it was like, nah.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I can do that. So it's like, it's really tricky for me to pick a song.
Yeah.
But I think those, like, I said some,
that
some
is,
of them.
Yeah, yeah, also, yeah. Like,
all that jazz in Chicago.
Oh, I performed that much. I love Paprika and I do our version of that. But yeah. I love Chicago. It's an amazing musical.
Yes.
It's so good.
And I love it. I saw it
in
Broadway. And for me, it's like, it happens the same with cabaret. But it's like, Chicago, I love like the stripped down version, which is the original, which is like,
yes,
no props, no stage.
Yeah.
It's like the musicians and like very like simple costuming. And it's the same that happened with cabaret nowadays in the London production.
Yes.
With Jack Shears, by the
way.
Yeah,
like, he's an amazing performer. Yeah.
I didn't see him. I saw like some other performers.
Yeah.
But I loved it because it's going back to just like, that's trash. It's Berlin.
Yes.
Like in the 30s.
Yeah.
They are like ugly, drunk people. Sally Bowles, she's like a ugly, drunk, not that good English singer.
Yeah.
And we've gone like, slowly putting it up like in a very glamorous kind of language,
yes,
way. It's like,
true, that's
nah,
true.
Nah,
yeah,
nah,
bring
nah,
it
nah.
back to how
bring
it
back
yeah.
to just like trash.
Yeah.
And that's like the London production nowadays. It's amazing because of that. Really,
that's
really,
what
really,
I
really
love.
Really,
I love going back to London. I love going to see a musical. I love going to see theatre.
I'm
really lucky.
Last time I saw Cabaret and Moulin Rouge, and I didn't like Moulin Rouge because of that. It's like going to this like, well, this whole, first of all, costuming in Moulin Rouge is awful.
Yeah.
It looks like Amazon, kind of like.
We were very disappointed, actually, because for us with Moulin Rouge, the two leads had no chemistry.
Because
they could both sing, but they had no chemistry, and it was a bit of a shame.
For me, it's like a kind of a joke constantly. And every time they add a new song, of course, Moulin Rouge, it's like a joke music. It's a joke film. Meaning it's like the fun thing about Moulin Rouge is that they pick like pop songs and put it in like in the hall. Like, but we're so used to hearing the songs in Moulin Rouge that we're not shocked. But now if you add new songs, for example, like when in the musical, Christian, when he gets crazy, he sings Crazy by Niles Barkley.
Yeah.
So when the song started, their audience reaction was like, giggling. And it's supposed to be just like peak dramatic moments, like or like they sing like in a very drama moment, they start singing Bad Romance. It's like, no, ma'am.
Yeah,
I can get into the story.
We actually
like
saw we saw And Juliet, which is a musical that uses music in the same way, but it was so much, maybe because it didn't have the film to compare it to, it was so fresh, it was so beautiful, the costumes were amazing, it was just like,
and it's like, it's the
fabulous.
Same idea as like, okay, it's like prostitutes and like prostitutes and just like Paris, like, and they're like literally dying. So it's like,
yeah,
toned
yeah.
down a little.
No, I did feel a bit the same with that, I have to say. I saw in Brighton this Christmas Six, the musical, which was
yeah, they say fabulous.
And growing up British, of having studied Henry VIII until you're blue in the face, it was such a fresh way. Original music was fab. Well, Alex, we're almost at the end, so I'm just going to end on what's coming up. Have you got any exciting things to share with us? What are you, any ambitions?
So for me, the most important thing is that I released CDE like a few weeks back. So it's people, everybody, just like go check me on Spotify. It's Alex Martin with two E's, the same. The CD is called Meseta. I love it because it's songs that I wrote back in Madrid, like back in 2018.
Okay.
So I really, 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 really was looking for so much forward to just like releasing them. And I'm really happy about the results. So go check that. And then there's a lot of shows coming up. I don't have anything like super sure because you know how this works.
Yeah.
It comes up and down. What I have for sure is that I'm going to be just like very linked to Eurovision again this year.
Oh yeah.
So if everything goes as planned, I'm going to be hosting like Barcelona Eurovision party.
Fabulous. Last year was incredible.
And I am also going to be in Benidorm for Benidorm Fest.
Oh, brilliant.
And if everything goes to plan, I'm going to be in Malmo too for Eurovision.
Amazing. So. Well, you will be seeing maybe the UK win, because we have got high hopes this year with Ollie.
Well, I wouldn't get that high.
I know I shouldn't be, but this is better than Bonnie Tyler. Sorry, Bonnie. Or Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah. So yeah, and of course, everybody follow me on Instagram, because there's like every week there's like shows.
Yeah.
And rabaladas and dragaladas and ups and downs and arenas and
so many
and
things. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking. It's been amazing. I've really enjoyed it.
No, thank you. You know, we could be talking for hours.
We could go on and on and on. So thank you so much. And my advice is, I always have a simple piece of advice. When people get you down, or if you feel like they're not respecting me enough, the people who said that you were rubbish at music and you would never play the piano, you just say simple words. Cállate, puta.
Cállate, puta.
And there we have it. Thank you, and we'll see you soon.
Adiós.